Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and I have been telling those of you that are regular listeners that today we're going to be talking about something that everybody loves. What is that? Money. But we're going to be talking about it from a different perspective. If you're of an entrepreneurial nature, if you are someone that perhaps is going through some very, very difficult times right now, as so many people are, if you're disgusted with a lot of the things that you see going wrong in business, internationally, nationally, it doesn't make any difference, my guest today is going to give you some insights and I think some perspectives that can let you know that you should, one, never give up your dream, and two, don't follow that which you really don't believe in. My guest today is Jean Bergdorf. Her book is It's Not the Money, How I Built a $2 Billion Real Estate Business Based on the Golden Rule. Jean, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Donna.
It is always a pleasure to be able to interview successful people, but I think what was so meaningful to me is the story of your life. You know, people, when they hear that someone's worth $1 billion, their eyes just start to glitter and they go, ooh, 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 aren't you lucky? What they don't realize is that more often than not, there's been a journey traveled that they haven't a clue about. And it wasn't easy. It was hard work. And sometimes it was scary. And your story, I think, is so fascinating. Now, I want my listeners to know that you are the Executive Vice President of Era Showcase Properties and Investments. And in October of 1995, you were appointed as a member of the New Jersey Real Estate Commission by Governor Christine Todd Whitman. You have been very much involved in community through most of your life. You co-founded Bergdorf Realtors in New Jersey with your husband. You have just a tremendous background. In 1991, you were named the Businesswoman of the Year. In 1992, you were elected to membership in Masterminds. You were the first woman that was ever honored in this way by the elite think tank. I didn't even know they had a think tank for the top real estate CEOs in the nation. And you were a member of Governor Christine Todd Whitman's transition team, which is a real estate delegate of the Citizens Ambassador Program to China in 1994, to South Africa in 1995, and to Japan in 1997. Gee, do you ever get a day off?
Seldom, Donna, seldom.
Well, I'll tell you, if you're like me, your work is your passion. You really love the people you interact with, and that's the feel that I got throughout your entire publication. Jean, someone would say, why in the world? Oh, you've got everything. You've got the money, you've had the business, you've had all of these successes. Why take the time to even share any of your secrets? Why write this book?
I wrote the book, Donna, because so many people asked me to do that. And I was happy to do it because they wanted me to do it, but the results have just been so heartwarming because, you know, a lot of women particularly, I think, feel hesitant about branching out or starting a business on their own, and so many people have told me that reading this book has encouraged them to do something beyond what they had thought possible. And can you imagine the feeling that that gives me?
Oh, I think that's fabulous.
When I had Bergdorf Realtors in New Jersey for like 50 years, one thing about it that was so thrilling to me was to see somebody take a job with our company, perhaps at a, you know, a fairly low level, mm-hmm. and then begin to see the possibilities, and they would take on more and more responsibility. We had one person go from a pouch driver, that's just delivering papers, you know, from one mm-hmm. branch to another, and eventually, through a series of steps, became a vice president of the company. That sort of thing meant so much to me.
I could see why. When you're able to empower people so that they can achieve the level of potential within themselves that you can see,
yes.
that finally they are able to recognize and they invest in and make a living result,
yes.
that is really a good, that's the mark of a good teacher.
You do that all the time, don't you?
As much as I can.
Yes, yes,
as
yes.
much as I can, because I feel, as any person does, just like you, and I think that's why I resonated so much with your book, there is, you can't take anything out of this life except what you have acquired in the way of soul and spirit, as far as I'm concerned, and intellect. But while you're here, if you can't pass along what you know, when you're gone, well, there's nothing. I mean, there's just nothing left. You can leave a gazillion dollars, but what, you know, that can be gone in 5 seconds. I mean, that can be dissipated into so many different avenues. And then somebody said, well, what'd you do? Well, I don't know. Where did this come from? I don't know. But when you can have an impact on people's lives where they pass it on, that I think is a wonderful gift. Now, you ask a question right at the very beginning of your book, and I'm going to read it exactly as you ask it. What moves you? And those of you listening, I want you to think about this. What moves you? Gold or the golden rule? Now, Jean, you started off with this. The golden rule to you has made such a difference in your dealings. Why?
The golden rule, Donna, when I first became aware of it through a religious teaching, and it was Jesus saying, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. When I began to apply that in my business, I saw such wonderful results, and I became a little self-conscious about it with my salespeople, because I thought, as I was teaching them, I thought, there are people in the company who are not Christian, for goodness sake, you know, there's all representatives of many different religions, and some people who profess not to have any religion at all, and I thought, how can I teach them this? And then I found out, I was so happy to see it, I found out that the golden rule appears in every major religion in the world. Little different wording. You know, one of them says, don't do to anybody else what you don't want them to do to you, mm-hmm. which is a slightly different way of putting it, but, you know, basically the same thought. So I was so relieved to find out that it is not just a Christian teaching. It's in all the major religions. And the thing to me, Donna, is that it works.
Mm-hmm.
It really works. If you actually treat other people the way you want to be treated, if you care about them. My husband and I, when we started our business, we made a pact with each other. And we said, we're going to look at everybody that comes. We had one little office, you know, in our home at that point. We're going to look at them and ask ourselves, not what can they do for us, but what can we do for them?
Mm-hmm.
Now, many people over the years, particularly successful businessmen, I'm sorry to say, have said to me, oh, well, you know, that's all very nice, but you really need to pay attention to business. It is good business to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had trouble understanding why people don't just do it. You know, maybe they have no moral or ethical or religious reason for doing it, but it is just good business. It results in good ends to practice that.
And you are quite an independent gal. I have to share with my listeners, you've got little stories and little poems scattered throughout your book. And I love this little story about a little girl who had just finished her first week of school. And she comes home to her mother and she said, I am wasting my time. My mom just listens to her and she said, I can't read, I can't write, and they won't even let me talk. Boy, that's all girl. That is all girl. I mean, really. I can't talk. What are you going to do?
That's perfect for your show, isn't it?
It's absolutely amazing. Now, I had to throw that in. I love little stories like that. And there was you mentioned your husband. His
yes.
name was Doug. Your
right.
husband was such an accomplished man. He went to Vassar and the New England Conservatory. He was very knowledgeable about child care. I mean, this is a man that he was quite a guy.
Well, somebody said to us, Donna, when we married, a good friend with a sort of a cynical outlook, and she said, you know, she said, you marry each other, you both go into the business, either the business or the marriage will fail. That was her prediction.
Ah.
But with us, of course, obviously it didn't fail because we loved to be together,
mm-hmm.
and we had common goals, and I thought, of course, we'd be together forever. And when he passed on after just a few years of marriage and we just had a few company, people in the company, a little company, and I didn't quite know, you know, what to do, and they all sat down at the dining room table with me and they said, we think you can do it. We think you should carry on.
Mm-hmm.
And they were very supportive. And I think you'd enjoy one story that happened when I was invited to be a member of Masterminds, but they don't just take you in, they invite you to a meeting and look you over. So they invited me to a meeting, happened to be in Boston in a big hotel, and I went to the meeting, and they had a nice dinner, and then they had a tradition of all lining up on this big circular staircase and having a group picture taken. So I moved off to the side because they hadn't had the meeting yet. They just had the dinner, and they hadn't looked me over, so I didn't think I should be in the picture. And the head of it, who had invited me to come and be looked over, said, oh, Jane, he said, come on, be in the picture. And I said, no, it can't be in the picture. You haven't invited me to join yet. And he said, oh, that's okay. Come be in the picture. If we decide not to take you, we'll airbrush you out.
Boy, that's a confidence builder, isn't it?
Isn't it, though?
Gee whiz.
But I often was the, you know, the first woman or the only woman or the token woman. And it was interesting to see what effect it had on groups of men.
You went through the glass. You broke the glass ceiling. You evaporated the glass ceiling, and you really didn't stress yourself about it. That wasn't an issue for you. You just really found, especially after your husband passed away, that this was something you were going to do. But let's backtrack a little bit, because real estate today, and I
yes.
think we have some listeners that are in real estate. I know my husband and I have a very good friend who's been in real estate for years, and it was a couple of months ago, she said, oh, real estate's going in the toilet. I'm going to have to go get a day job somewhere. She said, there's no way of making money. She was really down in the dumps, really down in the dumps.
Were you able to encourage her at all?
Well, of course.
But the
thing is that she has a mindset. She's sort of been in a certain patterning for a number of years, and this is the way it's always been done. And so she's really scared. More than anything else. She's a very independent person. So I know those people that are involved in real estate at this point, I think they'd like to know how you and your husband started off and how you were able to acquire number two office, number three office, number four office. This isn't something that's done overnight. And relative to today's world, and I realize, Gene, I'm throwing a lot at you, but relative to today's world, how would you compare the then and the now?
The then was much easier in many ways. It wouldn't be fair to your listeners or to the general public to just say, oh, you know, everything's all right, you can do it. It's not easy. I think probably you and your listeners are all familiar with Future Shock, Alan Toffler's famous book, and I think we're experiencing a lot of future shock in the real estate business. We always thought that prices would only go up,
mm-hmm.
and unfortunately, that's not true. There are periods, and this is a severe one, where prices have not only leveled off, they've gone down. But, Donna, it is still a one-on-one business.
Mm-hmm.
You still need a caring, empathetic, educated person to help you either sell your house or find a house. The internet is wonderful. You can get scads of information on it, but you still need that guidance, that counsel, that individualized attention of a real estate person.
Mm-hmm.
So encourage your friend to know houses are selling. The prices are down, but they are selling. There were, for instance, in one modest area of Florida recently, there were 1,700 sales within the past year. Yeah, yeah. You know, and this is an area where prices have gone down. People have gone out of the business. There's a lot of gloom and doom,
mm-hmm.
But if your motives are right and you're caring and you're active, there's still a lot of people that need help, and you can help them.
I agree. And I loved one of the stories in your book because it is so valid. And I have a friend in real estate down in California, and she shared a special story with me that was similar to this, but I'll use yours. You say, when you have proper intention, when you are focused on being a service, you never know what's going to come your way, but you have to have the right intention. And you talk about one day, a young man came into the office. He was wearing faded blue jeans. He had holes in them. Of course, that always makes an impression when somebody comes in looking like, you know, just looking like Dog Day Special.
Right.
And, Betty was out, that was your salesperson, so you decided you were going to help him, and you asked questions. Well, he was wanting a house. You said, what kind of house do you want? How much do you want to invest? And he kept saying he didn't know. And you took him out anyway. I mean, a lot of people would say, oh, good Lord, I've got this ding-dong in front of me wasting my time. I'm going to just brush him off. I don't have time for this. So you didn't do that. And you took him to just one house. He walked into it. He was thrilled with it. He wanted to buy it. And you would ask him about financing, and you said the price of the house is $200,000. He said, I'll take it. Just like that. I mean, I'll take it.
I was really worried at that point, Donna.
I can imagine.
I thought I had stepped into something that I shouldn't have.
And he paid cash.
Right. And you know why?
Cash. No. Why?
Because he was an author. So he didn't have a job. Oh, that was another thing, you know, right in the beginning. He told me he didn't have a job. And most salespeople don't want to bother with somebody who didn't have a job. But he didn't have a job, but he was a writer, and he had just gotten a major pre-publication advance.
Wow.
So he had the cash. Whether he'd ever have it again or not, who would know?
Mm-hmm.
But he had the cash, so he bought the house for cash.
Well, when you think about it, that was a very good choice on his part because he made an investment.
He did.
A capital investment saying, I'm not going to waste it. I'm going to put it into a house. This is perfect. This is what I want. And it's a statement about how you cannot go by appearances. I'll share a quick story with you. A friend of mine has been in real estate, my goodness, I think since before God. And she's just a love. She is absolutely wonderful. Her name is Lorelei, and she is a woman of tremendous ethics. And she was brand new in the real estate business. And she said, and she's still doing it today, and she's, I think, almost 80 years old. She just loves it. She goes in every day. And she said she walked in. She was a new salesperson. She was working for someone else. She walks into the office, and there is this woman that is in sweats.
Mm-hmm.
And she looks at her, and the woman said, oh, I want to take a look at some commercial buildings. Well, she wasn't too impressed with it. She said, oh, what the heck? Nobody else in the office wanted to deal with this woman. Nobody. So Lorelei's driving her all over Los Angeles. And she said, now, here's a commercial building, and I'll tell you why I think this could be a good investment. They didn't talk money, but she gave specifics. Well, this woman happened to spy another building, and she said, well, what about that one that's got a for sale sign? So she gave her the background on it. And then the woman walked out, thank you very much, I really appreciate your time, bye. And Lorelei said, well, I didn't have anything else going this morning, that's nice, but she treated her graciously. She said, I didn't treat her any differently than I would anybody else.
Right, that's the key.
That's right. A week later, a man walks into the office, and he's very nicely dressed, and he said, I'm looking for Lorelei, and here's Lorelei, the brand new gal in the office. She said, hi, I'm Lorelei, and he said, there was a lady that stopped in here last week. She was wearing shocking pink sweats. Lorelei said, yes. And he said, you drove her and you showed her certain things. She said, yes. He said, I want you to show me the same stuff. So she got in the car, and he said, okay, now what I want you to do is take me to this particular address. She said, oh, yeah, that's one of them we went by. This was like $1 million or $2 million business this year, you know, business building.
Right.
And when she did it, nobody sold it. Her very first sale, $2 million.
Wow.
And the guy paid cash.
Wow.
Businessman. And so that's why I could relate to your story.
Yes.
But Lorelei said she learned a very valuable lesson. And it's the very thing that you have said in your book. Number one, you don't judge people by their appearance because you never know. She said that woman, to look at her, now she didn't have holes in her sweats, but she still, you know, she was not dressed in a business way at all.
No, really.
And so she just finished running. She decided she was going to check out real estate, and she did it on purpose because she and her husband were very, very wealthy, and they did not want to have a bunch of smooching. They wanted.
Oh, interesting.
You know,
interesting.
Really, and the man, he trusted his wife's advice, and he told Lorelei later, he said, I love to let my wife do this stuff because she's got such a good eye that I let her go do it. I'm busy doing other things, and she comes in and said, you need to invest in this, and he said, I go and I do it. It works.
That's perfect.
So, you know, these stories are tremendous, and Lorelei pretty much has followed the golden rule throughout her career,
yes,
just like you have.
Yes. Oh, that's a wonderful story. May I use that too?
Oh, of course you can. Of course you can.
I just love it. And it's really very parallel to my experience with the guy who turned out to be the owner of the company, you know. He came into our office and just gave his name, and he was from the Midwest and we were in the East. And he said, I'd like to look at rentals. Well, nobody wants to show rentals, you know. None of the real estate offices would give him the time of day. They'd say, here's a list. You know, go look at them, and if you want to see one, come back. But I knew that he was coming from another part of the country. I took him out, treated him like a transferee should be treated, showing him not only houses, but the areas and the amenities, the things he would care about, the things he might identify with. And he thanked me very much after seeing a few rentals and went away. And he came back and told me, he said, you know, I'm the president of my company. I'm moving my company to your area. The whole company. And he wanted to see how his people, who were not wealthy, I mean, he had some highly placed executives and he knew they'd get the royal treatment, but he wanted to see how the people who didn't make much money, who might need to find a rental, how they would be treated. Now, I had no idea, Donna, of this. None at all. I mean, you don't do it thinking, oh, you know, maybe this person will be something they haven't let you know about, like the pink sweats, you know. You don't go into it thinking that way, but the most wonderful things happen.
Fascinating.
And we sold everybody in the company or rented them.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, other people in the real estate business will say, how did you ever get so-and-so?
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to have to tell them that so-and-so just walked in looking for a rental.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But happens.
Yes, it does. And I don't know about you, but there have been times I have made through the years mistakes in my interactions with people. Maybe I've not been up to par, or maybe I've been in a situation I'd never handled before, and I look back and I go, oh, ouch, ooh, why did I do that?
But you made a mistake?
Yes, I did.
Donna!
Woohoo! Yes, I did. And I'm, you know, that's, and I'll tell you, I would hate to count them because they probably would go around the world a few thousand times. But anyway, you try to learn from your mistakes. And I think when you can be aware that success and effort, you're going to have times when you fall flat on your face and it's okay, but you don't buy into fear. And right now, I was talking with someone about 2 weeks ago that was interested in buying a home, and I said, well, you've got a buyer's market. Sometimes the real estate environment is a buyer's market, sometimes it's a seller's market, sometimes it's both. And sometimes it, you know, it seems like it's just nothing for anybody for a while. But it doesn't stay level. So we had a nice conversation, and they said, wow, you've given me some good ideas. And I thought, that's what it's all about. You need to be able to take an assertive position with where you are and find out how you can assist people in a way that is going to empower them. But you do something else, too. You had a $2 billion company that you built up. This wasn't done in 3 to 4 years. This took a lot of time. It took a lot of investment, and not only investment in, let's say, dollars and time, but in people. And you developed such a phenomenal team of people. And I think that is something that is too seldom emphasized, is the value of your team.
It's everything. It's absolutely everything. I can't tell you how many times I've said to our company in as a whole, in a meeting, whatever, if I disappeared and just was gone,
mm-hmm.
if our management team just disappeared, we would still have a viable, thriving company.
Mm-hmm.
The salespeople are the ones who are doing it, day by day, helping one person and then another. And that's what's important. That's the foundation. And we have to appreciate what they do on a day-to-day basis. When I first came into the business, people were looking at me strangely when I said I wasn't a teacher anymore. I was a real estate salesperson. And they obviously didn't think very highly of that. And so I decided right then in the beginning that to help in some way to build up appreciation for what salespeople do. Somebody said nothing happens until somebody sells something. And the salesperson you need to be appreciative of them because they have nothing in their hand to sell when they're selling real estate. They have a concept mm-hmm. to sell. Mm-hmm. And they wake up in the middle of the night and think, oh, that's the place for so-and-so. They work holidays. They work weekends. They work nights.
Mm-hmm.
All to help somebody else have a solution.
Mm-hmm.
And they need appreciation. So I've tried all my life to appreciate them, and it comes back so often.
I agree. And I think that investment of time, in many instances, you never know how that is going to be returned to you in a way that you would never dream. And it can come years later from someone that said, I knew you, this is what you did for me, and I want you to help this friend of mine. Or, you know, all of this, it's an accumulation. It's mm-hmm. never just a step.
No.
Your book is wonderful, and I know we're just about out of time, and you are just such a phenomenal woman. You're an inspiration to anyone.
Oh, my goodness, Donna. You will give me a swelled head if you're not careful.
Oh, I don't think so. If you were going to have a swelled head, you would have had it a long time ago. I don't think so. I think
okay.
You're just a real human being that's got a wonderful story to tell. Your book, It's Not the Money, How You Built a $2 Billion Real Estate Business Based on the Golden Rule. Your stories, your poems, your little excerpts that you have in here are so real and so down to earth and so heartwarming that this is something that I should be in just about anybody's library that really wants to be in business. It doesn't have to be in real estate. Someone that wants to understand how their life can make a difference. They don't have to be a billionaire. This book speaks to the heart of Mr. and Mrs. America, Mr. and Mrs. Anywhere, any level of economic base, which I think is phenomenal. Not many people are able to do that. And the one thing that you do is not talk down to people in the book. You just are really at ground level. That's all I know to say. And you have a website, jeanburgdorf.com, and that's J-E-A-N, Bergdorf, B-U-R-G-D-O-R-F. F. Do you have a closing thought for my audience, Jean, before we close out today?
Oh, my goodness. After all those wonderful tributes that you've given me, my closing thought would be just go out and express love to anybody with whom you come in contact. It is so much needed today.
Yes, it is. It really is needed, and I think with that, there comes that trust. And that's something you address in your book. It makes for wonderful reading. It's not the money. Jean Bergdorf has been my guest today. Go to her website, jeanbergdorf.com. Find out more about this wonderful woman, her business, but better yet, get the book, because it is a good read. Donna Sebo here. Jean, thank you again for being my guest. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. Telephone number you can call into is 888-815-9756. Now, if you're a first-time listener, all you need to do is give me your first name or your initial, and then I'm delighted to be able to give you my intuitive insights. And, of course, I always like to know where you're calling in from. So, again, the telephone number to call in to is 888-815-9756. I wanted to share with you a cute little story that came out of Jean's book. And in her book about real estate and this type of thing, she talks about advertising. And this I just absolutely loved. It's called Single Black Female. Now, this is an ad. A single black female seeks male companionship, ethnicity, unimportant. I'm a svelte, good-looking girl who loves to play. I love long walks in the woods, riding in your pickup truck, hunting, camping, and fishing trips, cozy winter nights, lying by the fire. Candlelight dinners will have me eating out of your hand. Rub me the right way and watch me respond. I'll be at the front door when you get home from work, wearing only what nature gave me. Kiss me, and I'm yours. Call 877-4160 and ask for Daisy. Now, this was an ad that was put in a newspaper by the Humane Society. Daisy was an 8-week-old black Labrador retriever. I just love that. And it is, how do you present your need in a way where you'll get a response? Can you imagine how many men responded to that ad? They told they were getting a black lab. Oh, well, I'm sure she found a home rather quickly. This is Donna Sebo. We've got a caller on the line. Let's go to that caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Initial D from Everett.
Hi, D. Well, we have got a lot of wet up here, haven't we?
Yes.
Yes, I'm sure you're flooding out there in Everett. Okay, now, Dee, the first thing I am looking at here is take care of the paperwork. Be sure you stay on track with the intention that you have about something that you're wanting to accomplish. And then also, what I want you to be aware of is you've got a problem with your vehicle. I am hearing a noise. I'm in the driver's seat, and it's as if as you are moving, there is a tinny sound that's coming from what I perceive the left side of the engine. Now, my first instinct is to say you might have a belt that's getting ready to be replaced. There is this strange sound that's occurring. And I want you to just be attentive. I don't want you to be fearful. I just want you to be attentive. And if you notice this sound, you might want to call up your service department or your mechanic and say, I'm hearing this, and I'm going at such and such a speed. What could it be? It's nothing major, but it is something that it will need to be tended to. Also, you've got a phone call coming from someone you have not heard from for a long, long time, and you're going to feel a little bit unsettled by the telephone call, and I would say just relax, let them talk, find out what it is that's on their mind. They do have some kind of a challenge, but you don't need to fix it for them. I think being a very good listener would be appropriate, and then if they say, well, what do you think? Say, gee whiz, I don't know. It's sort of a challenge for me. What do you think you need to do? In other words, toss back the question they have back to them. And I think what it'll happen is that you'll find you won't have to get involved in anything, but by being a good listener, it'll make the person feel better for some reason. And whatever the issue is has nothing to do with you. I think the reason they called you is that they felt that you would or will be calling you. They feel that you're the best person for them to be in touch with. And I think that's good. I think that's quite a compliment to you. But again, you don't have to fix anything. All you have to do is be a good listener. Do you have a question for me?
No, just whatever you see. I'm coming up for me like next week. Anything immediate that I need to?
No, I think you've got a pretty stable patterning for this week and next week. I'm not concerned about anything relative to the immediate. There is a straight line in my mind's view of what I would call just a stability. So I'm not too concerned about you. I'm not seeing any upheavals or any major anything right at the moment.
Is there any news coming for me next week? I'm expecting a phone call or a, not the phone call that you just told me, but, you know, different kind of phone call.
I wouldn't hold my breath. I wouldn't worry about it. Just let it be. It
okay.
might be the following week.
Oh.
Maybe they will, but what I'm looking at is whoever you're concerned about getting you the call, there's a lot of things that are on their plate. So they've got a lot of things to take care of. You're not the only individual that they're concerned with. So there's a lot of people on the plate. So I just relax about this. If you find yourself starting to get stressed or anxious, don't. Go out and wash a window or go running around the block or go see a movie. Do something. But don't get worried about it, hon. Lighten up about this. Just relax.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Thanks, bye-bye.
This is Donna Sebo. If you want to give me a call, 888-815-9756 is the telephone number to call into. Okay, Abby Bricks has a poem here. Oh, I've got the most beautiful picture of a snowman. Wow, this is a super-sized snowman. And it was built in a place, in a forest, where all the trees are covered with hoarse frost, which is absolutely, if you've never seen that, up in Alaska it happens, and I've seen it there, and it is just breathtakingly gorgeous. And this was taken, this picture that I have in front of me was taken during a day when the sky is a brilliant blue. It's the background behind all of these magnificent trees covered with hoarfrost, and somebody made a snowman, really decorated it up well, top hat, carrot nose, the whole thing. And underneath it, it says, "I can't decide what I love most, the frozen pond or the old fence post, where a snowman in a stately top hat resides, waiting for his snow-white bride." And that was written by Abby Brick. And I just think it's delightful. The words in the picture just go hand in hand. Have you ever gotten any of those emails where you're sent these absolutely magnificent photographs done by photographers from around the world of different places? Some of them are four season types of photographs, or they're mountains, there's a theme, animals, whatever. I'm just absolutely in awe of the skill and the talent that these people absolutely demonstrate. It's just, I just think it's such a joy that we are able to communicate so wonderfully well with the technology that we have. And I know you can get 10 gazillion emails that aren't worth 50 cents, but there are always those that come through from friends, and I don't know where they get the time, but they're on that internet and they're getting all of this information. I just think it's wonderful that we have this much that we can share. It's just great. I wanted to bring you up to date on some fishing that goes on, or phishing, P-H-I-S-H-I-N-G. It's the latest scam, apparently. Now, I'm not a texter. I barely have enough time to take care of my emails and other things, so to do the texting, I see so many people do. I just don't have the time for that. But apparently, there is a major concern because there has been a 600% spike in phony emails that look as though they're from banks, stores, or social networking sites, and they are aimed at the ignorant. They are aimed at tricking you into handing over account information. Now, they are so sophisticated today, and I remember a few months back giving you an email scam that was being promoted by this whatever group it was, for Social Security people, and they were opening them up, and all of a sudden they're attacked, or their account information, all of their Social Security information is stolen and they're in the deep six. Well, these scams are so convincing that FBI Director Robert Mueller, in an interview, admitted that even he almost got caught up with, you know, following through with one. Well, the cyber crooks have found a new way to target. This is with text to your cell phone telling you that your account has been deactivated and you need to call a number listed in the message to reactivate it. Now, to avoid becoming a victim of this scam, don't ever respond directly to emails or text messages or click on links in those messages from a bank, from a place like eBay, or anything like this. Go directly to the source. Do not do it from what you are holding in your hand or your computer, because you're going to end up being victimized. These people are real, very, very sophisticated. Say, and you need to call your bank or whatever company you're getting this information from, call their customer service number directly to make sure that this is something that came from them. I know that we have gotten calls, and you never know how they get your number. Even if you're put on this list where you're not supposed to be on the list to get any solicitations, and they'll slide in questions. People will slide in questions of, oh, we've got your credit card, blah, 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 so on and so forth, and then all of a sudden your credit card number plays. And then you're just doing it automatically because so many of us are using our credit cards for just about everything. You have to pay attention. Don't give anything out over the phone to anybody who is calling you. Make sure you get a callback number. This happened. My husband had someone call him on the phone, and they were trying to talk him into something. He said, I'm sorry, I just don't give any information out over the phone. If you want to send me something in the mail, that's fine. Well, no, we don't do that, but this is all we need to do. No, 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 you're not hearing me. And I know I have gotten some calls where the people are so persistent, I've had to hang up on them. I don't like doing that because I know telemarketers are working at their jobs. But there are these groups and these organizations, and there are so many that are associated with political groups or what they're doing. They're using all of these as a cover. So make sure you check your sources. There have even been scams by people claiming to be associated. Believe it or not, let me backtrack for just a minute. Believe it or not, this went on in the state of Washington when the officers were murdered in our neighborhood here in the Pacific Northwest. And there were scammers that were calling people trying to get donations from them. And when the police found out this was going on, they were just absolutely livid, of course. But do you have these people that will do this? So whether it's a charity or anything else, please always check your sources. We live in a world today you cannot take things for advantage. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Oh, I want to make sure I let you know. I've got a couple of guest appearances that are going to be coming up with two different radio shows. As soon as I get all the details, I'll be letting you know, because they're all going to be heard over the Internet, and it's really wonderful to be able to interact with these people, and I know you'll be delighted to know about what they're doing as well. And also, for those of you that have had paranormal experiences, I am gathering stories at this time, and I would love to hear from you, because I want this book to be able to express to others that maybe are fearful of what they've gone through. They just don't understand that this isn't something they should be afraid of. But I'd love to hear your story. If it's a story about a member of your family that has been psychically gifted, or if you have had certain experiences that have changed your life, I would love to hear about these. So if you could send your story to Donna at DelphiInternational.com, Donna@DelphiInternational.com. That is a way that you could send it, or you can write it out and send it via snail mail, whatever is your preference, and I will be evaluating. I'm trying to gather about 100 stories, and it can be about telekinesis, it can be about astral projection, near-death experience, you name it, because I know that there is no limit to the various intuitive experiences that people can have, synchronicities, all of these different things. So if you have a story and you would like to be a part of this book, please send it to me. And just know we need to have your contact information included, because we may not, when the publisher is ready to do the book, we may have to have you sign a release form that it's okay for us to put out your information in the book. Anyway, I wanted to share that with you, and my snail mail is The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, and that is Tacoma, Washington 98497. So I just wanted to share that with you. Now, talking about paranormal experiences, what would you do if you were considered an electric personality? Well, I guess we could have all kinds of images that come into our mind when we say that. But in 1846 in La Pierre, France, there was a woman, and all of this has been documented. She was 14 years old at the time, and she was called an electric phenomenon. There was this situation where she was working at a weaving frame. Remember, at that time, that was one of the ways that young girls could make money. And they were making silk gloves. And whenever Angelique came near this weaving unit, which had a very, very heavy oak frame, so this thing weighed a tremendous amount, whenever she started coming towards it, the whole weaving unit, this was a massive weaving unit, would start to shake. Now, at that time, there would be, ooh, this is bad. They would think she was possessed by the devil. Of course, they couldn't figure out anything else, so that's what they come up with. Some things like that still go on. Well, they took her to their local minister to have the demon or whatever it was excised from her. However, the minister believed that this was something physical and thought that this wasn't something that was in his league, so he recommended that she go to a doctor. Now, for 10 weeks, anything that she got close to, it went just scurrying away from her. It just went boing, went away. Furniture would spin. It would bounce. If she touched it with her hand or even her apron or her petticoats, bingo, there was an automatic response. To pick up paper or pen was impossible, as that they would fly away as soon as she would put her hand out towards them. Chairs darted out from under her. A 60-pound table levitated when she touched it, and her bed was rocking all the time. Now, two strong men held a chair for her, and it shattered in their hands. Well, you know, there's more to this story, but I just took a look at the clock, and we're out of time, so I'll have to finish this story tomorrow. We'll find out more about this electric phenomenon. It was real. It's all been documented. There's all kinds of strange things that go on in this world. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Tomorrow we'll talk about the 5-minute miracle, and you can be that miracle yourself. This is Donna Siebel. You are the master of your soul. Wherever you are, be the best you can be. We'll be right here at the same time, same place tomorrow. Donna Siebel here. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.